Well, hello there, this is Fish and Frank, and welcome to another Radio Fishin'. Yes, in my best announcer voice, we are going to get this segment started. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Oh my God, I'm tired today. I don't know what's going on, but I got a great guest. I'm going to let him introduce himself and talk about what he does and where he's going. Let me turn this music down. God, that's obnoxious. All right, and Matt, you're the man on the pier, right?
I am the man on the pier.
You are the man on the pier. It's just amazing. Now, you write for a blog? Yes. Oh, come on. You know, it's amazing. With these people, they get so excited. The studio audience here, I mean, you know, we're trying to cut it back to 100, 150 people in the room.
Well, the support is fantastic. I really do appreciate it. But, I've been doing Waterline for a couple years now and writing Man on the Pier, and been doing a lot of blogs lately on Facebook. So if you do a search for Man on the Pier, you can find a bunch of videos, blogs, pictures, and fishing reports.
Well, hopefully you can write for my blog a little bit too.
Sure.
If you'd be willing to, I'd love to have you on the blog.
I'd be happy to.
It's growing in leaps and bounds, you know. Fishandfranks.com has just under 100,000 unique visitors last year, and we're at pushing 99,000. So
that's awesome.
Maybe by the end of the year we'll get that 100,000 mark. But
it's a great number.
Yeah, well, it's 4 years ago or something when I took it over, getting 1,000 hits a month, now to 3.5 million, and it's because of having guys like you around. I mean, you've been coming in the store, discussing ideas and talking about where the fish are biting, what's going on, what's happening. And speaking of which, what's going on right now in the wide world of fishing from the man on the pier aspect?
From a pier standpoint, the sheephead have been pretty good. This season's been, I'd say, a little above average. And they slowed down a bit with the full moon a couple days before. And they're still just a little slow right now. They should pick back up heavy next week. But they've been consistent at Placida, Boca Grande. El Jobin has been a little slow. It's a little more hit or miss there. But when they're on fire. I saw a guy that had about a 24-inch fish the other day. Really impressive.
Now, one of the things we've been noticing a lot of people talking about is maybe not as fantastic a numbers. Maybe you're not going to go catch, you know, 100 fish when you get into them, but everybody's seeing big fish this year. Big.
They're quality fish.
Are the seem to be the theme so far this sheephead season. Now, I use mostly fiddler crabs, peeled shrimp, but have you tried the that fake stuff from Fish Bites, the worms?
No.
Have you tried that
yet? No, I haven't.
Now, I'll give you a pack of that to take it out and try it. Come back and give me a report on it. That Fish Bites stuff is absolutely amazing, and it's a copy of that bloodworm.
Okay.
It's got the bloodworm scent in it, and sheephead really seem to like those. It's the one fake bait I've seen actually work on sheephead. What's your bait of choice? What do you like using on the sheephead?
I generally alternate between barnacles and mud crabs. And it kind of goes in cycles. Sometimes they really seem to be keyed in on the barnacles. Other times they really want the mud crabs. The last 3 weeks...
I'm way too lazy for the whole barnacle thing. I got to tell you, that is some tough stuff.
It takes a little work. If you can find a spot... what I do is I like to find a spot where I can wade out to and knock them off a piling of a bridge or a pier.
A rock.
Or a rock, anywhere.
If you can see a rock, a stick in the water, the grass down here has barnacles on it. People don't understand that. The problem when it is and you're looking for sheephead stuff, it's got to be big barnacles.
It does.
If it's not a good size one, it should be at least as big around as your thumb, or you're really not going to get any bait out of it.
Yeah, because there's just a little kind of critter inside, and I don't know what to call it, a worm?
Worm, slug, slash, God, what kind of creature builds a house like that?
But the sheephead will slurp it out real quick. But the good thing is why I like barnacles is you can really feel the bite when they grab a hold of it. So it gives you, as long as you keep the hook exposed when you hook the barnacle, you got a great chance of getting the hook set on the fish.
Now, when we tell people to hook up the barnacles, you're not putting the whole shell and everything on. You're just putting a little critter inside, the little soft part inside on the hook, right?
Putting the whole thing on.
You put the whole barnacle and everything on there.
What I generally try and do is if it's a tall barnacle, like it's pretty steep, what I'll try to do is I'll pierce one hole through the bottom. The bottom of the shell is actually pretty, it's not too hard to get through. I'll pierce one hole through the bottom. I'll pierce another hole through the bottom. If I don't, and you got to try to be careful so you don't break the surface and you get a big hole. Then you can bring your hook through both holes and you've got your complete hook exposed. On a shorter barnacle, you can pop it. You can pop the hook point right through the bottom and then push it out through the top. But you've got to make sure you've got that hook exposed or you're not going to get a good hook set.
Okay, so give me a size ratio. Quarter inch tall, three quarter inch tall.
If a quarter inch tall, you're looking at, you can pop it through the top. Anything probably taller than that, you're going to want to try to do what I said and put the two holes in the bottom and sort of poke it through.
That's really cool information. Now, what we're talking about putting the hook through, what's your favorite hook? What's the size hook you use on this?
I use a number two owner live bait cutting point hook. I've used them for 3 years now for sheep's head. It's my favorite.
Well, I can understand that because the owner cutting point, it's different. It's not the needle point. The cutting point actually has a head on it like a broadhead arrow, and you can drill with it because not only do you have the point, but you got two sharp sides. Those things, if they touch you, they go in.
Yep.
They're amazingly sharp. The sharpest, most penetrating hook in the world. Slightly expensive, but really for drilling holes in barnacles,
that's perfect. Yep.
I mean, I quite honestly, you got me on that one. I would have never thought of it, but it's literally the perfect hook for that.
It is, and I stumbled onto, I mean, I've always liked the owner hooks. The size, you know, I keyed in on the number two, and I never really thought about the cutting point before I started using barnacles. You know, the crabs, the mud crabs and the fiddlers, you know, that a lot of folks use, they're not too hard to get through. So when you pierce the shell with them, it doesn't matter so much. But the barnacles, it really makes a difference. And they stay super sharp as well.
I mean, when you said it, you know, all the little light bulbs in my head went off, and that was the perfect hook. It's a very unique hook. There's not another hook like it in the world. And it's the only one that would actually be able to cut and bore like that. So hats off, kudos. That's a really, really cool thing. Now, when you're rigging up, you've got your fishing pole. What size line are you using?
I usually run about 20-pound braid on a spinning reel. And I'll use for a leader, I'll use about a foot and a half to 2 foot of 30-pound mono.
Now, here's the tricky part. You've got the mono going to the braided line going to your leader. Do you put a swivel on at that point, or do you use a three-way? What's the connection to your line to your leader?
I do use a swivel, and a lot of guys may kind of look at you weird when you say that, but here's the reason why they're morons.
Let me put it this way: they are morons. You are the intelligent one. They are dumb as a bag of rocks. Go ahead.
So you go ahead and before you tie your main line to your leader and before you attach the swivel, you want to slip on about a 1/2 ounce to 1 ounce egg sinker before you do that, depending on the current. You know, El Jobin, Boca Grande, the current can rip pretty hard, so I usually generally use a 1 ounce weight.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And then so after you slip your egg sinker on your main line, you go ahead and tie on the swivel, and then I just attach the leader after that using a uni knot.
No, that's absolutely perfect. The going back to why I call those people morons, here you have morons that never understood we left monofilament behind. When you tied monofilament line to a monofilament leader, that line-to-line connection was perfect because the whole thing's kind of invisible. There's nothing there, and that swivel was just an object there that probably didn't belong there. But when we switched over to braided lines, that brought swivel back into the most amazing thing because mono's invisible, braided is 100% visible. Fish can see it. It's basically fiberglass. I know fiberglass, Kevlar, Spectra, Dynamas, but basically fiberglass, they see it. So putting a swivel on the end of your braided line does nothing to attract or detract from your fishing. You're 100% right.
And it's an easy way to keep that egg sinker above and off your leader. And
absolutely.
Then what I do to finish the rig, after I tie my hook on at the bottom, I attach a small split shot about 4 to 6 inches up from the hook, and that helps to keep the bait anchored in the water.
Limited travel slip sinker rig. Yeah, I believe I know where you learned that. But yeah, it's a great rig. Now, I will do something a little different a lot of times sheephead fishing. I'm using a stout rod, medium heavy to heavy. But what I do is I come down to my braided, and I tie a three-way swivel on, and I put the tiniest little crappie bobber I can find on there. You know, little tiny half-inch, almost nothing bobber, because I don't want a lot of flotation out of it. And then off the bottom of the three-way, I tie about 2 feet of line down to an ounce to 2 ounce better sinker to hold me in place. And then I tie my line off the side. It allows me to keep my rod out into the current. The bait travels up, but it's 2 feet off the bottom. And that's where the sheephead usually are. And I'm tying a pretty short leader. I'm only using about a foot over to my hook. And it seems to work out pretty good. But doing the three-way or doing it the way you're doing, both these excellent ways for sheephead. And what an amazing rig with the cutting point. I'm still in awe of the barnacle cutting point
thing. That's the key to that one right there.
Yeah, that's got me lit up. I learned a new trick today. I always like that. You know, 29 years in the business, and every once in a while somebody comes along and just surprises you with, it's so simple. It's so perfect.
Yeah, that's the great thing about fishing and sharing knowledge with people and just talking about fishing. And you learn so much and you think you might know all you need to know. And then someone will come along and blow your mind and show you something, a tactic, a trick, a technique, a leader. And the next thing you know, you've just stepped up your game. So.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that I will be teaching people your rig for years. I mean, I'm going to be stealing that. I'm going to be teaching it for years. Eventually, I'll tell people it's my idea. You know, 5 or 10 years from now, I'll be saying it's my idea, you know. But for right now, I'll give you all the credit, Matt.
I appreciate that.
So anyway, the one question I always ask, try to ask my guest on an interview, where would you go? What would you do today? If you were going to go out fishing, if you were leaving the store right now, where would you like to go, and what would you expect to catch?
Today, I was out to Boca Grande this morning, and that would be one of the places I would suggest folks go. I would either go probably Boca, the Tom Adams Bridge in Englewood.
That Tom Adams Pier has been real hot lately.
Yep. And or Placida. And Boca and Placida are great because they've got a mixed bag right now. Aside from the sheep's head that most people are going to be targeting, and you can still do good on today if you want to go out, there's an incoming tide. It's coming in pretty good, I think, until late afternoon.
It's been kind of key out there. You really wouldn't think the tide would matter, but I get a lot of guys telling me that they're sitting there waiting, nothing much on the outgoing, the tide turns in, and boom, they're just lighting up.
I've always had better luck with sheep's head on the incoming tide. The earlier in the morning is usually better if the tide's already up to a good clip coming in.
That wouldn't have worked this morning because I would have been shaking so bad. I would have scared my line would be vibrating. The sinkers would be bouncing. I was scared every fish for a mile.
It was a little cold. I was definitely shivering a bit before the sun came up and got real high and warmed us up a little
You're
bit.
You're hardcore. I got to tell you, I'm looking at this going, it was 42 degrees this morning.
It was chilly.
I know if you're from, you know, Michigan or Wisconsin or something, that's like summertime. But I'm telling you what, for Florida, 42 is that's freaking cold.
Yeah, that's about as cold as we need it to get ever. So, but yeah, the Boca's got a mixed bag going. I would expect the same out of the LA Anger Pier, Tom Adams Bridge, and Englewood. And you can expect some pompano, and definitely some sheep's head. Tom Adams.
What bait would you take with you to go do that?
For sheep's head, I would definitely take mud crabs or barnacles. If you can't get
fiddler
those,
crabs.
Yes, if you can't get those, definitely go with the fiddlers. All three of those are exceptional baits. Live shrimp, if that's all you got or that's all you can get, live shrimp can be effective too. What I do with them is cut them up into smaller pieces when I'm hooking them.
I was going to say, just get a bag of frozen head. Because you're going to peel them and put them into pieces anyway. It's much cheaper to buy the frozen. But we're just about out of time, but it's a good trick because with the frozen shrimp, you got a shot at the sheephead and the pompano. And to me, that's always nice getting a mixed double out of something.
Most definitely.
But this is Matt, and tell them about where they can read your blog, hopefully soon on fishandfranks.com, but go ahead.
Sure. Just about every Thursday in Waterline Magazine, Sun Family and Newspapers, you can find my column, Man on the Pier. And also, I post a lot of blogs and pictures, videos, fishing reports on Facebook. So if you go to Facebook and just search Man on the Pier, type it all one word, you can find me, stop by my page, click like, and you'll get all the updates from me.
And I appreciate that. And, you know, I got to tell you, it's been great. The crowd loves you, you know, and I thank you for teaching me something new today. And this is kind of Fish and Frank. And there goes the music. And we're going to be getting out of here. And Matt, terrific guest. Hopefully he's going to be a regular here on Radio Fishing. And you can find Radio Fishing exclusively at fishandfranks.com. Your anytime click on radio. And once again, from Fish and Franks, thanks for listening. Bye-bye.